Blog Talk
and
Radio.
And we're back. And let the big dog hunt. Once again, we apologize for the technical difficulties we have just experienced. Good news is we have a full 15 minutes left. And, of course, Steve Tallis back with us on the line. Hello, Steve. And I don't know what happened there. We got shut down for a little bit, but we are back on the air. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well. I think maybe because we were talking about Anaheim and Calgary, and a lot of people in the country don't even really care about that series. Maybe it was the West Coast Gremlins. They're not happy.
Someone pulled the plug on us. All right, let's switch over to the NBA. Winding down, playoffs are here, basically. To me, there's only a few teams to talk about. And I could be wrong. You could see a team come out of nowhere. But, basically, you have your Cavaliers who have struggled a bit, in the last month. And then you have the Golden State Warriors, who are the Golden State Warriors, odds on favorite to take it down. You have San Antonio, sniffing around. Your thoughts on the NBA playoffs and how this thing will play out? Because to me, the wild card really, I don't mean that in the wild card and seedings. I mean, the wild card to me is kind of the Cavaliers and how they're going to straighten out and right the ship. And can LeBron take them again and take them past the Warriors if that's who they're going to face?
Yeah, it is fascinating because if you didn't think the regular season was pretty much meaningless before, now with all this resting that you're seeing, Cavaliers being the biggest example, they go into Boston last week and thrash the Celtics and essentially said, we can rest all we want now because we can go up there and kick their butt whenever we want to. I don't think it's quite the same in the West, although you've seen San Antonio and Golden State do the same thing, but I don't think either one of them is really saying we can go into their place and kick their butt. It's just, as with the Jordan Bulls for many years, the Eastern Conference, which is a little better this year, don't get me wrong, but they've always kind of been the JV to the Western Conference's varsity, except for the Bulls of Jordan. So they usually had an easy way to the finals, and the guys in the West were beating each other up, and I think that contributed to some of those 6-for-6 Chicago Bulls championships. Here, too,
sure.
I think it's a little easier for Cleveland. I mean, they had a miraculous. I picked them last year to win. I stuck with them when they were down 3-1, and that was a minor miracle.
Yep.
And it was. I think it was the first time in the finals it had ever happened. I'm not sure if that's true, but it was a rare occurrence, especially to a 73-win record-breaking Golden State team. Now, I think it's just Golden State and San Antonio. I'm happy to hear Russell Westbrook say, I'm playing to win a championship. We can talk about that at some point this week or next week because some stuff has come up in his triple-double run that I think I'm going to try and write an article before next week about. That kind of casts a negative shadow on it. I'm taking nothing away from Westbrook. He's a tremendously talented player. But I think between the assist rule and this new stat, uncontested rebounds, where they have video evidence now of people showing Adams boxing out his big guy, another guy boxing out his big guy on the foul line, and Westbrook coming in to get rebounds. Clearly that's intentional to get him more rebounds. Nobody,
sure,
no 6'10 guy boxes out a 6'10 guy and then doesn't go for the rebound unless it's intentional. But that's beyond the scope of this show, I think. But I agree, it's either Golden State or San Antonio or Cleveland. But I think there is an issue, and I don't know if it's fixable. Adam Silver can send out all the nasty memos he wants, but if you want to arrest people, you're going to arrest people. You know, it just broke that the Brooklyn Nets tonight – the Brooklyn Nets are going to rest 6 players against the Bulls. If the Bulls win, they clinch a playoff spot. And the Nets, the 20-61
20
Nets, they're going to rest 6 guys. Now, what are they saving for next year? They're going to be well-rested for next year?
That's the craziest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, and I don't know. Again, I'm not sure what the answer is going to be to this. It's going to be interesting to see what the NBA is going to do. But frankly, at least with respect to the Spurs and the Warriors and the Cavaliers, this is really a coach's decision and an important one. Maybe it's a protest against back-to-backs. I know the Cavaliers were 0-9 this year in the second half of back-to-backs before they finally won a game. I don't know exactly what their record is now. But it almost makes sense then on back-to-backs to rest your stars in the second game if they're going to be 0-9, which is what they were this year. So I think that's a huge problem. Again, my complaint about the NBA, as you know, compared to the NHL, you can talk about all these teams, and if a goalie stands on his head, you got a chance. As great as a LeBron is and
sure.
always an MVP candidate and only one of five guys, the goalie in hockey, in my opinion, has a much bigger effect on the series than any one NBA player. That's my opinion. And we've heard it for decades. When the goalie gets hot in the playoffs, they can go all the way, and it's happened. You're not going to see an 8 seed. You're not going to see whoever it is, the Bulls or Miami or the Pacers. They're not going to beat the Celtics or the Cavaliers, in my opinion. You know, whoever gets in, the Trailblazers, I think, are going to get in now over the Nuggets because of that incredible shot Westbrook hit the other day, that three at the buzzer. But are they going to really beat Golden State? Is Memphis going to give San Antonio a run? Maybe in the matchups, you know, Memphis has beaten Golden State in the regular season the last few years, but I just don't see these as series. They're almost like the first round of the NCAA. We're doing a lot of NCAA tourney analogies, but I think that's similar. So I understand basketball is the much bigger sport. I love hockey. But I think in hockey in the playoffs, it's much more interesting, certainly in the first round, than it is in the NBA.
No, I totally agree with you on that. With one game left, the Cleveland Cavaliers behind the Boston Celtics. Did you think that would ever be a possibility? I know it's regular season, but, you know, the Cavaliers, the incumbent champions with LeBron and everything, I don't think Boston is poised to make a legitimate real run to take out the Cavs. But what's going on with the Cavs? What's going on with the Cavs, and how do you see them getting it together, if at all, for this playoff run?
I did not think that was possible. To me, they still have the best player in the NBA. If you're giving down an MOP, a most outstanding player, even with Westbrook as a triple-double, if you're going into the playoffs next week, who do you want on your team, Russell Westbrook or LeBron James? To me, it's a no-brainer. I don't buy the people who say, and Francesa used to say this in New York, oh, the season starts, give LeBron the MVP. That I don't buy. But having said all of that, they've clearly made a decision, and I think it's LeBron's decision. You know, when he had that yelling thing with Tristan Thompson a week or 10 days ago, it was very interesting, not from a perspective of those guys yelling at each other, but when the coach, Lou, tried to come in to break it up, LeBron just, like, put his hand in the guy's face. I give Tyronn Lue a lot of credit. He played in the league. He's got a few rings. He's like 5'6" or whatever he is. But LeBron just like put his hand almost to the guy's face and just said, you know, just get out of here. I'll take care of this. A lot of people think LeBron's the coach, and in many respects he is the coach. So I think Cleveland is the one team that does. We always talk about, oh, you can't really turn it on for the playoffs. But I think Cleveland is the one team that can turn it on for the playoffs. And I think they're proving that by resting all these guys and essentially ceding the number one seed to Boston. Again, they went up last week and thrashed Boston in Boston. And I think after that they just had a meeting and said, let's rest everybody because we can beat these guys. And it doesn't matter if we play Game 7 in Boston. I think they're probably going to think that they're not going to get to a Game 7 when they play this, if and when they play the Celtics. So I do think Cleveland can turn it around. Certainly, I saw, I forget the guy's name on ESPN. He does the power rankings every week, and he's got the Cavaliers down at like 6th or 7th, and he's got the Raptors and the Celtics in front of him. But I think if you're going to reseed for the playoffs, if you will, the Cavaliers are certainly number one in the East. We'll see if that backfires. I don't think it will because I still think the East is weaker. Boston's done a tremendous job. Give them credit. The Raptors, you know, the Raptors are only a game behind the Cavaliers. So they've come back to the pack. I'm surprised at that. But I think they did once they beat Boston last week. I think they essentially said, we're just going to get rested and healthy for the playoffs because it's a long, you know, it's the second season. What's happened in basketball and hockey in the last 30 years, you know, back in the old days of hockey, there were two playoff series. Back in the old days of basketball, there were three playoff series. Now it's the entire second season that we hear so much about, and it really is a grind. So I think Cleveland still gets out of the East. I think Golden State probably still gets out of the West with, you know, San Antonio having a chance. But I think this is the problem with the NBA, the predictability. And if you're a Knicks fan, if you're dumb enough to be a Knicks fan, you're not looking 1 or 2 or 3 years down the road. You're looking 5 years down the road. How are they even going to become competitive, never mind competitive with the top three teams? And that's, you know, we talked about the 76ers a lot and all these guys that they got in the last few years, but they're all still injured or traded now, it seems.
All injured, yes.
So, but you know, how far are they away? You're a Brooklyn Nets fan, really? I mean, you're so far away, you should be in another league. And that's the problem with the NBA, in my opinion.
No, I'm in agreement with you, my friend. Good stuff. We've got about 4 minutes left. Let's talk MVP. You know, I don't usually dwell on individual achievements, but it's interesting this year. You mentioned Russell Westbrook and some negativity to all his triple-doubles. You have James Harden, you know, right behind him in terms of points per game. And, you know, you always have LeBron. You have Kawhi Leonard. Who has the best shot and why to win the MVP this year?
Well, I've really come to root for and respect James Harden a lot more in the last few weeks. A week ago, somebody asked him, what do you think about, you know, these guys resting? And I don't think it was a knock on anyone in particular, but Harden said,
no,
I'm here to play every game. I'll rest after the season. And I thought that was such a fantastic answer.
It was great.
And the other day, in terms of the MVP, now Harden's doing a little politicking for the MVP.
Sure.
But, you know, amazingly, he's in the D'Antoni system, which certainly helps him. And D'Antoni said before the year he should lead the league in assists, and he will lead the league in assists, and he can get his shot whenever he wants it. So he might not be the triple-double guy that Westbrook is, although he's got a bunch of triple-doubles himself. But they asked him the other day, in terms of the MVP, what about winning games? Shouldn't that matter? And Harden just, with, again, he's politicking, but just with a straight face said correctly, well, yeah, I thought winning games is what it's all about. Aren't we all here to win? Isn't that what we're supposed to do? And I'm not a gambling guy, but the over-under for the Rockets before the year was like in the low 40s. And they've totally overachieved. They're in the mid-50s. And believe it or not, the Oklahoma City over-under was like 46, and now they're going to win 47 or 48 games. And they won their last game without Russell Westbrook. So I find it fascinating. I would throw Kawhi Leonard in the mix because, you know, whatever you think of Harden and Russell Westbrook, everybody kind of clams up when they talk about defense. And Kawhi Leonard is one of, if not the best defensive player in the league. And nobody on a top team, this is an interesting angle on the triple-double. I'm going to go back and look, but I'm pretty sure Oscar's team was pretty bad when he averaged a triple-double. Nobody on a really top team, no Celtic from either the late 50s to the 60s or even the Bird years, no Laker, no Magic Johnson, despite all those championships, none of those guys could ever average a triple-double because they're just two well-rounded teams. That's why they're champions. So whatever you think of OKC,
right.
I saw a stats guy analyze, well, offensively, Russell Westbrook is the MVP because they're terrible without him, you know, offensively. And I don't know, again, if you want an MOP, the most outstanding player, I have to give it to Westbrook. Whatever I think about the old assist rule and these uncontested rebound stats, which I'm going to try and write about, and film evidence now that the big guys are boxing out so he can get rebounds, it's still a tremendous accomplishment. He is one of the most, if not the most, gifted player in the NBA. I mean, his talents are incredible. But he couldn't do it if Durant was on the team, and I think we saw that over the years. He was second fiddle to Durant. And keep in mind, they had Durant and Harden. Think about that for a while.
Remember
you could
that?
Say that's,
and they got rid of the, that was their big three.
Yeah, what is that, three of the best six players in the NBA today?
Yes.
I mean, you throw LeBron in there, you throw Kawhi Leonard in there, it might be three of the best five players in the NBA. It's really kind of sad that they got split up.
30
seconds. You know, yeah, no, just that Harden. So I think Harden, I think he, you could give him the MVP. I think Westbrook is the MOP. But at the end of the day, it's going to be between guys like Leonard and KD and LeBron James in terms of the championship, which, of course, is what matters most.
Totally agree. Steven, great show again. We'll be back next week, next Tuesday at 5:30 for the Callous Remarks with Joe Stasiak and Steve Callous. So long, everybody.
What do you want from a Thomas Cook holiday?
I want to chill out.
Ready for your massage, man?
I want adventure.
Want a great value late getaway this summer? With Thomas Cook, you can fly to beautiful sun-kissed destinations from over 20 airports around the UK. Visit your local Thomas Cook store today or go to thomascook.com. Conditions and credit card fees apply. Atoll protected.